Scott Johnson here to ask you for your help. That's right. CORE survives on the support of our listeners. And you can go right now to patreon.com/CORE Show and show your support today. It means a lot to us. And thanks.
Treating is good because you get treated again. This is CORE. Why do you itch, butt?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember that part. I don't remember that part at all. Maybe I shouldn't have played that one. Hey, hello, everybody.
No, that one was great. I legitimately laughed at the joke, and it was a bad joke.
Yeah, still good, though. Good, but bad. Bad, good. Good, bad. Hey, speaking of good, bad, welcome, everybody, to CORE. This is the Heroes of the Storm podcast, known as CORE. My name is Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we are at it again. It is Tuesday, and that's a good thing. Also, we're on the launcher tonight, so hello to anybody who's seeing us now and hasn't already switched us off. We're representing Venezuela as the best we can. We're here to make it happen. We're going to talk about Heroes of the Storm, get deep into what's going on with everyone's favorite new buddy, Blaze, who I cannot stop talking about or playing. I love him. I love him. I love him. I'll talk about why here soon. But before we get to that, something a little controversial, if you guys don't mind. No.
the pronunciation of the word Venezuela.
Exactly. Sorry, but it's a before show thing. You'll have to be in the chat room to understand. Hey, it'll encourage people to come at 6 o'clock on Mountain Time on Tuesdays and watch, or Wednesdays, and watch what we do live. It is Wednesday, isn't it? It's Wednesday.
Yep.
I am full of cold medicine. I am jacked up because of the stupid cold flu thing. Anyway, so when a new hero comes out, we have a new world and reality we live in now. And that is that it doesn't just come out and let you, say, spend money on it or buy a bundle with money or buy a bundle even with gems, or excuse me, with gold anymore if you decide you want to spend additional gold. What they have instead is this new system, which is gem bundles. And they make it so that if you want to get the bundle, meaning the character, a couple associated skins, maybe a mount, whatever the bundle may contain, you have to spring for the entire gem cost of that. And there's no other way to get those skins in the game. You can get the hero with just gems. You can get the hero with just gold. You'll pay 15,000 gold early or 10,000 a week or so from now. But if you want to get Blaze and all his accessories, the only way to get all of them is to do it with a big fat gem bundle. And that means that if you have a ton of shards stored up, or otherwise are a lucky roller of loot boxes, those things are not going to be available to you unless you get them with gems. So in reality, we should just forget about the gem layer and just say, unless you want those skins, those mounts, those whatevers, at least during that launch window, you will never get that bundle together or those items without spending actual cash money on them. That's a change, not that recent, maybe, what, four or five months ago?
Alex Straza was the first one.
Okay, so it wasn't even that long. It's like a couple of months is all. Not even that, a month.
Yeah, a month and a half, let's say.
Month and a half. But I'm just telling people what they already know. That's the thing that exists in the game. That's the deal. Hmm. And the big question is, though, do any of us feel like these gem-only bundles are ruining some of the excitement of the new heroes? Not the new heroes themselves. They're amazing. Like I said, I want Blaze sitting next to me right now so I rub his neck while we talk. I want him to feel good and great about his life. I want him to spend time with me. He and I are going to have a weekend together in the Hamptons. I love Blaze. He's amazing. Me and Miles Lewis, dude, forever friends, forever from now and forever. But does it ruin any of the hype for players like us when these gem bundles come and that's all we can do? Bo, thoughts?
I have thoughts. Here are the thoughts. I've bought two of the three bundles.
Yeah.
Actually, I've put down hard-earned gems that I earned in the gem mines and spent the money on it. And here's the interesting thing, is that the hero, gem cost-wise, If you want to put down cash for it, it's 750 gems, which is some weird number Canadian. I don't get the translation of one-to-one penny to a gem. It's something weird. Yeah. But let's just pretend I'm paying 750 American for it.
Right.
A few more bucks. The bundle is 1350. Actually kind of seems like it has value because I'm estimating it at a 400 shard crafting cost if it was a craftable item.
Yeah.
Which would be, you know, if you look at skins for sale on that tier, they're almost, they're between 500 to 1,000 just for a single tint.
Mm.
So in that sense, they are kind of worth it if you're into it, if you want it. But when I'm at the store and I'm in the middle of wanting to buy the thing, I'm like, oh, for like five extra gem bucks or 500 extra gems, I'll get the full bundle. And I know that personally I'm paying extra, but I don't mind supporting the game. So I'm kind of like, oh, whatever. If this was a game I wasn't as into, I probably wouldn't care to spend extra. But in this particular case, it seems fine.
Well, you're already in this mode as in the fandom of this game that you expect to spend money on said game in some fashion. Like it's, you don't expect everything 100% for free. So it's not like that's a problem. But where it's a problem for me, and tell me if this adds any wrinkle to what you're about to tell me, if you're 400 shards, or as you said, sharts away.
Mm-hmm.
My wife laughed. my wife doesn't even know the context, and she totally laughed.
Context.
No, that was great. Thank you, dear. She's still giggling over there.
Tell her it's by the guys who's saying I would walk 100 miles.
Yeah, I'll tell her it's that. 400. It's an accent. Yeah. So what I have to do that to make the transaction complete is I've got to go buy a minimum number of shards. What is it? 400? Not shards. Gems. So 400 gems. 500 gems. Whatever it is, whatever the minimum is that you can spend money on. And then there's the 1500 gems and there's 4,000 gems and then so on. So these lots of gems, meaning they're sold in lots of these numbers, and you have no choice but to do that. I can't just go top it off and say, well, I'm only short 248 gems, so I'd like to buy 248 gems, please. So this is the thing that everyone complains about every free-to-play secondary currency kind of market in any game, mobile or PC or whatever. So I realize that this is nothing new. The bigger question is for you, and I want to hear what John thinks too, but do you feel like it's tarnishing your hype when you have to deal with all that? Wouldn't you rather just sort of either lay down the exact amount like we used to be able to do or something else?
Well, I found a solution inadvertently.
Whoa.
I put more money on there than I needed. And so I'm like, so I think I put about 40 bucks on a little while ago.
Yeah.
And then I only bought like $10 worth of stuff. And I'm like, okay, I've got plenty left over. Just because it's there doesn't mean I need to spend it. I know that I'm just giving them money to sit on and earn interest on, but whatever. This is just makes me feel better. It's like my loot box policy where I keep between 60 to 80 loot boxes unopened. That way, whenever I get the itch to open a loot box, I open it.
Right.
I don't know if this will work for everyone. And this kind of it's kind of a cop out to your question because we're trying to have a debate about something potentially salacious. But I'm just like, whatever, man, be rich and just have tons of stuff in there. And then you never think about these stupid problems.
Well, I mean, you've taken a conservative approach to it, which is, you know, save your, you know, invest and then save and then use only as needed and make sure you have stuff in reserve. Like, it's actually a pretty fiscally financial position to take. And the 40 bucks is just an investment you know you're going to need, and you don't spend it all at once or spend it in a way that's, you know, reckless or whatever. So you found a solution. John, have you found a solution to dealing with the feeling of that you get from having to deal with all this rigmarole?
The feeling, no. My solution is I just don't buy it, which is part of the problem because I'm with Bo. I don't mind giving them money. Anytime I have put money into Heroes, it very rarely has felt bad for me. I very rarely am like, man, I'm just throwing money at this game that I get nothing out of. Like, that never is a feeling for me. But at the same time, I feel like the problem with this is something of a, and death is a strong word, but death by a thousand cuts.
Mm.
I don't think any of the issues with these gem bundles are end of the world big deals. But I think when you take them all in scope, I think it becomes a bigger deal than it actually is. So, you know, what we're talking about is Blaze is a new hero.
Yeah.
Scott, you're perhaps in love with Blaze in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. I have the hots for Blaze, no pun intended. No,
I don't think there's no such thing.
You don't think so? You think it's
I think all love with Blaze is unhealthy and therefore it's all great. Continue. Sorry, John.
All right.
So you're clearly excited about him. I'm very excited about him. Buying Blaze, not an issue. But when you get a new hero, part of the fun of the new hero is, you know, let's be real about the game we're playing here, gentlemen. And now I need to go dress him up. Like, let's see what costumes we can put on him and what mounts we're going to put on him and what's he going to spray on the ground and what's he going to say. And I want to customize this guy and make him cool.
Yeah.
And you get there and you look at his skins and it's like, okay, well, there's the three default skins that I got. And here's two very slight variations that I can buy with shards. Mm-hmm. And then here's a whole army of Fellreaver skins that, unless I decide to buy all of them in bulk, I'm not ever going to get.
Right.
And that feels like a bummer. And yeah. So now you have your new hero that you're excited about and you're feeling maybe a little let down. Or maybe you like one of those Fellreaver skins and you say, okay, that one looks good, but I got to buy all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is no option to say, well, I like the one Fellreaver skin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to buy them all. And Bo's right. It's a good deal. Like, the value is definitely there in a world where you want all those skins. It's like somebody saying, hey, I'll give you 10 for one. Pretty good deal. Assuming you like all 10 of those things and you want 10 of that thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been my issue with it. It takes a little steam out of the initial sale for me. And then I think the next level of cuts, like you mentioned, is I can't just put in the amount of money that I want to put in. I have to buy this rounded up number and I have to use that to get what I want. And then I have to look at this leftover amount. And it just, that also doesn't feel good. It's not the end of the world, but now we're just adding things that don't feel that great. And I think it could be a little bit better. I think there are ways to improve it.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, they're adhering to a new standard. Like, this is kind of the way everyone's doing these sort of things now, at least a secondary currency type approach. And part of that is for international reasons. So when I spend $10, that's very different than somebody in a market where their money fluctuates and they spend 10, or our money fluctuates and I spend 10. And it's kind of all over the map for them. So they have to make decisions on price increases and decreases at kind of a very consistent rate. Whereas if they do gems, they can say, well, all right, here's 1500 gems, which currently cost this much money. 6 months from now, that same 1500 gems might cost a little less. They might cost a little more, but the bottom line is you still have this, like, this set amount of things that you'll be able to spend in the game. And you may have spent a little more or a little less for it in real money. So I understand why they do it. If this game was in the States only, then we'd probably never have to deal with this. But I get why they have to do it. I do think it diminishes things, and making it so that there's certain things I can never get outside of the bundle is kind of a bummer. It just doesn't feel great. So I want to adopt Bo's Zen-like approach to this, where you've got a solution that makes you feel good about it. And at the same time, I totally feel John's pain. Here's what I'd say, though. Whatever it takes for you, listeners, whether you're watching us live on the stream tonight for the first time, maybe because you're on the launcher today, or maybe you've listened to the podcast since the beginning and have been watching us since then, or listened to it on your phone later, or whatever you do, here's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how you get him. You have to get Blaze. He's so great. And I'm not just throwing that out like a turd in the wind, you know, like you do.
People are always throwing with all 100% of my turds out in the wind.
Right. Because that's what I was told. And I'm going to stick to what Mom always taught me. Throw my turd in the wind.
Here in Canada, we throw them in the snowbank.
Really? But that's kind of
different.
Like
the cultural differences.
Doesn't it have to get to the wind to get to the snowbank?
You don't want to take chances by throwing it. You could miss and kill somebody.
But if you throw okay, this is the worst Canadian fact I ever heard in my life. But nonetheless, Good. I like it. I like
didn't, actually.
Here's the thing, though. Like, he's so great. I mean, let's just get into him. Let's talk about this guy. He is.
I think you've been getting into him too much, Scott. I think that's the problem.
I know. It is a problem. Crazy. Like, I really, really like him, and I don't know why. I mean, I kind of expected I was going to like him anyway. I've said on the show before, I'm a fan of the idea of taking a unit and building it out to a character, whether that's, you know, Hammer or Probius, or in this case, Blaze. I'm even more down with the name now because I think it matches this bombastic personality they've given him. It's just kind of stupid and over the top, and the name Blaze is perfect for that. It's almost like you can hear his thought patterns at the meeting he went to where he decided to call himself that. And he's just like, yeah, because of fire, you blaze, get it, you know, with a Z. Like, you could just, it's like this 90s approach to giving himself a name, and I love it. He is everything I'd hoped for, and I'll tell you what's crazy about him. Here's just the generalities, and we'll get to the specifics in a second, like his kit and stuff. But he feels a little bit as if Muradin had burst potential. And I know he kind of does if you talent him right and you get sort of a bursty Muradin or a more damagey Muradin. But imagine Muradin with a pretty tanky build, but with the potential of burst damage that is brutal. Like, there are moments, and I've got some recorded footage of this, and I don't know where it'll ever end up, but I recorded it because I just thought it was too cool, where I am doing combos with other characters and with my own abilities that are just decimating players. Like, killing them. They don't know what to expect. It's also early. It's a new hero. People aren't used to what to do yet. They don't know how to get out of there. But I can lay down oil, very quickly combo that with my Q, light that stuff on fire, slow everybody down, burn them, heal me while it's happening, hit my D, which means I'm burning them even more and everybody around them. If I've talented it right, there's oil everywhere because that's the way I roll. So I've just spewed oil every possible place I can find it, and it's all on fire at some point. And that's really hard to get out of, number one. Plus, you're still just doing damage, and your auto attacks are good. I always talent it, so the two hose shots from your Q, I forgot the name of it. What's it called?
Flame spray. I think it's flame spray.
Okay.
I think so.
You talent it so that when you hit a
flame stream.
Thank you. When you hit, please, we're not asking the chat room to flame the stream. Everyone just keep this straight. But if you flame stream, and you get both streams on the same hero with this talent, I don't remember the name of the talent, it procs crit on both streams. So you get this insane, especially on anybody who isn't a tank, insane amount of damage just by being a good skill shot with that. Plus you've got him standing on hot goo. Plus you're healing in the hot goo. Plus your D is active. Plus if you talent it right, you've hit your one key. Which that talent I always pick is the one that increases my fire rate and my speed. For another reason I'll get to in a minute. But suddenly you're just this bursted out monster and you're killing everybody. Now, that being said, you can also combat that with your E. Your E is a charge in and stun. And when I use that in the right timing, not only are they stunned, already standing in fiery goo, already taking damage from a Q that's proccing. And I may have already gotten to the second cooldown of that proc and hit him again. Like, it's amazing. Add this to the mix. You'll like this, John. Had an Artanis on my team.
Oh.
Yeah, your favorite player, right? Character.
Yeah. Rather.
And was just a quick play. My first game, actually, which I got MVP in. I'm not saying I did anything special. I'm just saying it felt so good that I got MVP.
I'm not saying I did anything special. I just got MVP. Yeah, it's fine.
It's no big deal.
It just stands for most valuable player. I don't know if you knew that.
Right. So we're in this fight, and he chose Space P. And in so doing, created an inadvertent combo with me that we neither of us planned on, but we ended up using like four or some odd times in this game without even cooperating or contacting each other or even texting each other in the chat. So what would happen was, as soon as I heard Space P, I would target the person he was space peeing on. Okay. What's it actually called, so I'm not confusing listeners?
Purifier Beam.
Purifier Beam.
Oh, no. Wait, is it Purifier Beam or Spear of a Dune?
It's called Spear of a Dune.
Oh, I thought it was Purifier Beam.
I don't know.
In StarCraft, it's definitely called Purifier Beam.
Yeah. Because
you have more than one called... purifier. There are different colors of space bee in StarCraft.
Right.
Now I gotta. Now I'm gonna pull it up because
yeah, I gotta look it up too. Like, this is important.
Now we're at like 8 levels deep. It's called Purifier Beam.
It is Purifier Beam. Okay.
He says Spear of a Dune when he.
How is Scott right about that when he's the one that never gets names right? I can't understand this. But anyway, must have been.
Well, I do appreciate that for a night where maybe we have new people here, we have stopped calling things by their alternate core names, and we're at least making some vague effort to give them the actual names they have.
Yeah. So. It's sometimes a struggle. Anyway, so here's what would happen. I'd hear, you know, when the space piece starts. That sounds like something Bo would do.
Yeah.
As soon as it starts up, I there's a little wind up, but I e-charge, which is my new little charge thing. I'm gonna look that up so I'm not saying stupid things like charge thing. Hold on,
like jet propulsion.
Jet propulsion. So okay. I jet propulsed.
Got you covered. You just let me know what you want to know the name of.
Sounds good. After my half a second charge up, see, I knew that. I knew that part. I fly in there, stop him dead in his tracks. This thing lasts a second and a quarter and deals damage. Space piece still going. Now, this isn't anything you couldn't do with Murd and with his Stormbolt or anyone else, right? Like, anyone with a stun, that's a good opportunity regardless because you've just now compounded the space pea problem. But it's awesome because you fly in, stun him, space peas on him, throw down a barrel, blunk, light it on fire, hit him with the two things, brr. So you've already bursted this guy down to almost nothing, and you've only given him one direction to go, which is away from me, because you got to get away from the P, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, if he cuts back the other way, I've talented it so that every time I use E, I lay down a lake of oil, and that's all on fire too now. So that going that way is not an option. And trying to
You mean by using fuel leak?
By using fuel leak, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a strange thing to upgrade yourself to do, doesn't it? Give yourself.
He's like, here, let me fix this fuel tank. Pops a hole in it. Fix.
Hey, you guys, I hit level 13. I jabbed this screwdriver into this big tank here, and I feel more powerful for it.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Anyway, you kill him every time. There's no living. There's no getting away. It's a really good feeling, and it just felt good. It's a wombo with Artanis, and I'm sure that there are other examples I haven't even experienced yet. But it felt really, really good. Then there was the time that I brought down my ultimate in the form of, hold on, I know the name of this one, Bunker Drop, that's the one, and got into the bunker, and three of our other teammates, while Murky was off doing Murky shit, three of the other teammates got into the bunker with me, and everyone's shooting flamethrowers out of there, and we ended up killing three of their dudes because they're so dumb they didn't know what to do. They were like, well, we should break down this thing that they're all hiding in. Meanwhile, we're just melting them to pieces. And the whole time I'm spouting off stuff like, light it up, need a light, gerba, gerba, gerba. Like, he is always saying the coolest things. I am telling you, he is, since Stukov, and it's funny they're both StarCraft characters, he's my favorite new thing, like, in Heroes in a very long time.
I can tell. They should have made you the hype video. You're doing an impression of like every move, every sound. You took us on an auditory journey through his entire kit.
Yeah, it's really good.
With voice lines and everything. It's good stuff.
I also think combustion's really good, but that's maybe a discussion for another time. But I mainly have been using the bunker drop for his ultimate and spending a lot of time working on oil combo stuff. For talents, and it just feels so good. Can you guys,
I have a question. Can you oil yourself?
No,
like where you're standing.
Yes.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You heal in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you, let's,
I did play one game, but I forgot it was vector targeting. So for the first 10 minutes, I was just pressing W, and it was like, this thing's behaving very erratically. What's going on? I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if the alt click will put it right at your feet, but I would think that that should also work
for anybody that uses alt for self-casting. I hadn't thought of that. So what I would do normally is I would just vector cast in front of me and stand in it if I needed to. So that's the other aspect of him I wanted to talk about, which is, again, kind of mirrored in, like, if you're sick of not having tanks who can't save themselves when things get real raw, I got great news for you, because he can do that. So there's a couple of things you do. First, you take that talent. I think it's at level 1, which is
Oh, Adrenaline Stim Pack.
Thank you for that one. Yes, this is great. You got this right at your fingertips. This is amazing.
This is just my new job. This is my new job. I'll just be the core fact checker.
I don't know. I think somebody's got the game client open.
Maybe.
I don't. I'm on Heroes Hearth, fine website.
Yeah, that'll work too. So you have, I always pick that. There's some other cool options there, but I like that one because it increases attack damage speed, or attack speed rather. Not damage speed. I guess in effect it does. But anyway, and it also gives you a speed boost, and it lasts enough time to be useful. So that's just a pretty straightforward idea. Number one, if you're in a fight and things are really crazy, it's a great way to sort of proc damage and go crazy and really hurt somebody. But it's also a great escape, so you can get out of there. I can outrun a deer lady who pisses me off to no end. So I'm getting out of...
That's Lunara.
Lunara, thank you.
For those who are just joining us.
So I get out of Deer Lady Lunara. Lunara. Anyway, I get out of her shit fast with them just by running. So he's got a great just runaway escape that's a good speed boost. And he's tanky enough to take a little damage on the way, but do okay. So unless they're locking you down hardcore, it's a great way to get out of there. But then his other sort of mobility thing that I love...
Why don't we do this? We don't do this very often, but you seem excited enough about it, and I also have a preferred build. I don't know if Bo's going to have one, but maybe he can offer commentary or thoughts as well. So you're taking Adrenaline Stim Pack at one.
Yeah.
I would agree. That's what I'm doing as well, typically.
Yeah.
What are you doing at four?
At level four? Hold on, let me pull up Hero. What is it? What are we looking at now? Nexus is gone, isn't it?
HeroesHearth.com is I think the best and easiest way to go through the talents.
Hearth. Okay. This is going to be good. It's great radio as well. Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think I'll this tell is interesting. You, yeah. I'll tell you what one I do and, while you, to buy you guys time.
Okay.
So I've been experimenting with oil dispersal, which increases the oil spills area by 20% and the slow amount by 10%. And I've been enjoying that, but I also really like the adhesive petroleum, which means that when it's lit on fire, they still get a slow on them, because I think the slow is incredibly useful, and it goes along with my desire to light everything on fire. Mm. So I think adhesive petroleum is what I will typically take.
All right, so on four, I will usually do... Let's see, where is it? Enemy standing, oil spill, and ignited slow. Oh, yeah, I do the same. So I picked that one as well. It seems like a lot of people do. According to this site, 57.9% of people are choosing that as well. So it's a high pick. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, basically, you're just adding slow. For an additional 30% of slow to the goop, which I cannot stress enough is, well, at least at this stage, people don't know what they're doing in there. They just are like, oh shit, they don't know what to do. And so they kind of skid around in it and kind of figure out the best way out of it. And sometimes the best way out of it is going up or down because it's a long thing. It's like a, I don't know what to call it. It's like a...
It's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, like a rectangle type thing. So,
yeah, rectangle. There you go. That's
a rectangle type thing.
Yeah. And
in the shape of a rectangle.
So your fastest way out of the slow, unlike, if you're in Stukov's hand anus.
not a rectangle.
No.
A
circle.
That one's a circle, kids.
Yeah, the circle on the ground. You can go kind of any direction and get out of there about the same because it's a radius thing, right? But in this case, you go up or you go down. That's not going to help you not die because there are people there fighting you. The best way to go is the long way, but that's going to slow you by an additional 30%. It's really, really great. And to top that off, I'm standing in it and pushing in on you and healing while I'm doing it because all fire heals me, or at least that fire heals me. So that's the other thing. And we'll go on with this build in a second. But when I poop that stuff down and I set it on fire, it's one thing that it's slowing you. It's a whole nother thing that if I've gotten beat to crap and my healers are gone, they're all up in the top lane, and I've got a choice. I can either, I've already tapped or something. If I want to go back and Nexus heal, it's going to take forever. So sometimes you're just on your own in a safe place, throw down a can of oil, bleh, sit in it, light it on fire, and you heal yourself for a chunk of healing. And the cooldown's so quick, you can do that in rapid succession and be full healed in no time and barely have touched your mana. It's crazy. So he's like Murden, but in ways that are all different ways of approaching it. Like, Murden has self-healing, obviously. His trait is a healing trait. but it takes a second for it to kick in or whatever. Well, in this case, I have a self-healing trait. It's just dumping oil on the ground, setting it on fire, and standing in it. But it kind of is the same result, the same goal is achieved. I just love him. I freaking love him. All right, let's keep going.
One thing I do want to point out about the oil that I found interesting is that you can actually, if you plop down some oil, shoot it, you light it on fire, and you plop down more oil then that overlaps what's on fire, it will also catch on fire.
Oh.
So that can sometimes be a good thing that you wanted to have happen, and that can sometimes be a bad thing that you didn't want to have happen.
Yeah.
So that's a thing to keep in mind. And to me, that's another reason why adhesive petroleum is so good at 4, is because if you do accidentally light oil on fire you didn't mean to, you're not completely losing that slow effect, which, like I said, is a big part of that initial
thing. Right. And it's also important to note, last week we weren't sure about this. Now I know the answer to it. When you cast the oil, when you throw a thing of oil down, it's not like he's a magician or something.
Well, he's casting the oil from his body.
Think of it like throwing poo to the wind. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
He would never say this, though. He'd never say, I'm going to cast this oil from me. Like, he'd never say that. But when he throws the oil down on the ground, there is, it has its own lifespan. And I forget what the time is on it. I don't know if that's handy.
2.5 seconds?
Is it?
Yeah, 2.5 seconds.
So that'll...
No, it's 5 seconds. The spill is 5 seconds. When it's ignited, it's 2.5.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you can really stretch that out by having oil out for an extended period of time, still deciding maybe kind of strategically who you're trying to push into there or what's the angle of things or whatever. It's not going to disappear right away. Then light it, then get the benefits of the lit one for its full lifespan, which is 2.5 seconds. If that makes sense. Like, it's not that you, there's no shared lifespan that you cut into. You get an additional 2.5 if you catch it right on the tail end of its life. So anyway, I freaking love that damn thing. Let's talk about the next one. Level 7. John, what do you pick when you go 7?
Well, as I'm looking at this, I realize that I'm apparently in line with whatever the most popular build is, but we'll just keep going along with it anyway. I take the quest talent, which is Grill and Kill. That damages enemy heroes with ignited oil spills 60 times. That's the quest. The reward is increase oil spills ignite duration by 2 seconds and the damage by 25%.
So probably the smart pick, probably a good pick. I take the one that is least taken, 5.3% according to Heroes Hearth, which is Crossfire. This is the one where you hit an enemy with both streams of flame, dealing 132 bonus damage, base damage. So that's a skill shot pick. And again, it's a very specific need or reason to get it, but it feels really good because when you hit people with those two streams and you get crit automatically, two big fat numbers show up. And it's,
I think,
very satisfying.
I think it's a hitbox thing. If you just cerebral it and don't give it a try. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an opinion in this. I'm going to ask you, Scott, because you like the talent. I feel like you look at it and go like, oh, that's nice if it hits, but you're probably not going to hit it all that often to get value, which is where people go with the thing. But what do you think? Because you seem to have had a positive experience. Maybe sometimes things in your brain sound harder than they actually are once you practice a few games with something. So,
right.
Do you find you often get a lot of value out of the burst damage?
I do, but part of that is because he's a tank, even though he's a ranged tank, what ends up happening is you get into the scrum of things with an oil spill to try to self-heal and cause mayhem. And you oftentimes the skill shot is not that hard to pull off because they're right in front of you. And so it's just bam and they get hit. It's kind of like shooting toads with Nazebo when everyone's clumped. It's like, yes, you're going to get toad shots on the toad quest. Like, there's
isn't it the most misleading ability in the game? Like, if you were just to introduce someone to the game for the first time and say, here's what this guy does, and they move like 2 miles an hour across the screen and spread out randomly, you're like, I'm never playing this character. It looks terrible. Yeah. But it's actually, there's a poison build, a toad poison build.
So. I know. I just started taking the toad build and it feels good. It feels really good. But I actually had exactly that reaction when I first started playing Heroes and I saw Nazebo's toads. I was like, well, this is the dumbest thing. Right, Oh, you're throwing toads at me? I will casually walk around them, I guess.
Yeah.
I think maybe the jet stream, the crossfire, like you might be onto something with crossfire that the community is not seeing because it sounds like, how likely am I going to be able to hit both both jet streams.
Right. And it seemed, if you're talking about, well, I'm always, if you're always going to be hitting people from afar, then yeah, you're going to hit less because it's a skill shot. There is some, you know, area for error and stuff. And I haven't hit them all by any means, but I hit more than I don't hit. And I think it's, again, because I'm tanking. Like, you're in there, you're in the scrum. I don't use it when they're far off, ever. I use it when they're within a pretty good, you know, pretty close range. So,
well,
I like it.
I think my logic for grill and kill is because, you know, one thing that I have had to come to terms with in playing a lot of Heroes over time, you know, you guys know me, you've played with me for a while, and I can get a little hungry for the kills and go a little ham from time to time. Mm-hmm. And as I became more and more focused on playing Warriors, I began to have to trust my teammates more to do the damage that I know I'm not going to do. And so I like grill and kill because it helps the tanking, which is really what I ultimately am there to do. I'm there to be a body. And you want to do damage, sure. You don't want to just stand there and be like, oh, I'm a glorified body. But the extra damage is nice, and seeing crit numbers is super nice, but I just feel like grill and kill makes you better at the thing you're actually there to do. And that's why I tend to lean that way. But it's hard for me to pass up big damage talents like this, so I won't lie. I took Crossfire in my first game.
Yeah, and also I would say I agree with you 100%, and I think that people are probably choosing it for the right reasons. Like, they're probably, I mean, you already know I don't like quests, so I probably avoid those out of just...
Yeah.
Initially, just avoiding them. But in the end, grill and kill is probably the smart choice, and I'll probably end up taking it more because, again, you know, I think you're absolutely right, is what I'm saying. But there is something really satisfying about crossfire and those numbers when they pop. It's just like, oh my gosh, did you see those numbers? And I'll tell you what else is satisfying. Seeing Greymane or some other a-hole who's in there to do serious damage to me, watching them go from 3/4 of their life down to 10%. Because I did it. It's like that much damage. It's super, and it's in combination with the oil on the ground and other stuff going on, but it is devastating to them. So if I properly combo an E, oil, light it on fire, and hit him at the same time, man, it just feels great. The Lord of Gilneas can just take a hike and get the H out of there at that point. It's really good. Anyway, all right, so that's that. Number 10, level 10. I haven't decided which I like better, but most people, it seems, on this side anyway, are taking combustion. And
yeah, I'm 100% on combustion. Well, not 100%. I won't say that I will pick it every time. But again, with the idea being you're a tank, combustion is really good for the notion of people diving on you. Mm-hmm. You know, people are either diving back to your back line or they're, you know, diving on you to get you out of there and chase you off. And activate combustion, and it either acts as an effective zone as everybody goes, oh, I want to get out of this, or you know, you just blow up on them. Mm-hmm. And you create kind of this dangerous zone for them to be in. And I like that better than bunker. My experience with bunker has been that I drop it and everybody gets in and everybody else walks away, and then we're just a bunch of dudes hanging out in a bunker.
And you can't stop. I mean, basically it's ice. It's what's it called? Ice. The thing that Jaina can take.
Oh, you can pop out early.
Oh, I can't R out of it. Are you sure?
I don't think you can cancel it. No, you can.
You can get out. Cause
I think
my R is grayed out when I'm in there with him. And I got in with somebody who was playing the character and I wasn't, and I could get out. But when I was him, R is grayed out and the whole team could bail if they wanted, but I had to wait through the duration. Either it had
maybe
to be destroyed
we'll test
or
that
I had to get
tonight.
Out.
I thought you could get out.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
no, you can get out.
Are you sure?
I don't think it's pressing R again, though. I think that might be the problem. I don't think it's R. Like, I think Q becomes your flamethrower or whatever, and then I think like W or E becomes your leave. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you get a Q on the screen for your flamethrower, and you got a grayed out R, and there's nothing else in the UI.
All right.
Now maybe you just click. Maybe you just click out of it or something.
The tooltip on the site says Blaze and his allies can enter and exit the bunker at will.
Weird. But how could they enter at will if I got out first, then it's gone?
No, it stays.
It doesn't leave. It stays.
Oh.
It stays for, 10 seconds.
All right, I resigned myself to this idea that I was just permanent bunker man. I figured
well, I can't leave. It'll disappear. And my teammates won't know what to do.
I really did.
They need me.
I really did. I thought, you know what I kind of had it in my head as? This is so stupid now that I think about it, but I thought I was the bunker. I realize it's coming out of space, but to me it's like Thor for what's his name? Like I become a bunker with extra hardware.
Guys. Yeah. That reminds me, are the mecha skins in the game at all? Did they?
No, not yet.
They're not there yet.
Oh, I hate when they do that so much. Anyways, so I was going to say, oh, you must have thought you had a mecha skin because it transformed. And then I was like,
no, okay. Those are
sorry,
still
carry on.
Probably next week. Probably didn't they staggered these last time like that. Where
yeah, the cool they skin. Always do that. I shouldn't be surprised, but
yeah.
I won't lie. I got in very excited about the skins.
If they wanted me to spend some money, those skins are what I wanted to spend money on.
Yeah,
that's true. That's actually accurate. And maybe that's where part of my frustration about the whole gems bundle was. I went in ready to throw down some cash. I had cash in hand, and I was like, let's do this game.
Yeah.
Mechaterial, give it to me now. And then it wasn't there, and I was like, stupid Fel Reaver doesn't even sound like a Fel Reaver.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done.
Oh, does it have the sound? It doesn't have the sound.
I have not played with that skin yet, so I don't know.
I'll go check. You guys continue on with the build. I am.
I know it does not have the sound because when I was looking for news stories for today, one of the top threads on Reddit is how can the Fel Reaver skin not have the Fel Reaver sound?
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say I knew it didn't have the sound because I wasn't terrified when I heard it or something like that.
Oh, that's true too.
Yeah,
that's
true. That's what I was hoping for. All right. So what else? Fuel Leak. We all agree. Probably the best pick there. I will say that one game I fiddled around a little bit with nanomachine coating. This makes it so enemies standing in oil spills have their attack speed reduced by 40% for 2.5 seconds. That seemed pretty effective when fighting a divey melee kind of comp.
Yeah.
They lost a whole lot of momentum when their attack speeds would go to shit.
But it's funny because even as you say that, I was like, oh, that'd be a good talent, especially with Fuel Leak. And then I was like, oh, crap, it's on the same tier.
Yeah, you're not
Fuel
wrong.
Leak is just so good at filling up places for oil to be sitting down. And you're standing in it when you're done with your rush.
Yeah.
So it guarantees to put you in a position to heal when you light it on fire. Mm-hmm.
This is all true.
It's just really good.
Let's see. Thermal protection is the next pick most people go with, but not by a ton. It's about about 47%. This is each enemy hit by jet propulsion grants to 10 armor for 3 seconds and reduces its cooldown by 2. I actually do not do that. I pick heat treatment, which is about the same pick rate, 47.4. Well, it is exactly that according to the site. Heal for 75% of the damage dealt by pyromania. So if you do a bunch of pyromania damage using your D, you get real-time healing on top of the healing and survivability you get from standing in your own fire. So
I genuinely don't know what to pick here. Thermal protection is what I've been taking because I keep forgetting that I have a D to use.
Yeah. It's easy to forget. It doesn't look like a D that you'd want to hit all the time.
Uh-huh.
You got to hit that D, John.
Yeah.
You gotta
sometimes you forget you have it.
Yeah, you gotta hit that D.
There was a period in my life where I was all too aware of it. At this stage of my life, sometimes I forget it's even there.
Yeah, I understand completely. Yeah, uh-huh. No, but we know, right?
We know there's at least one child listening that's going to be asking their father what that means.
nothing worse than what we said last week.
That's true.
We know.
It's probably nothing worse than we said 20 minutes ago, so it's fine.
What was really funny, I actually played the one game I've played with Blaze.
Yeah.
I had a duel with Tychus. We were both standing stock still in front of each other trying to pummel each other. He has the self-healing talent, and then I took this talent. We were both healing a whole bunch at the same time. I won.
Oh, my god!
But I had like 10 HP left. Like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, self-healing. But anyways, I like heat treatment.
excuse me. I had Illidan come in with Hunt,
and I'm on the fire bat,
and I'm on my own. Okay, so he hunted me across the map, did his whole "I'm Illidan" whatever.
Yep, his famous quote.
Yep, I'm Illidan, and he came in and he went whammo and stunned me, stopped me, and started doing what he does when he does Hunt. And I can think of no other character I've ever played, including other tanks, where I could fight through that and win. There are other tanks I can get out of there, right? But usually, if you go toe-to-toe and he's all amped up, he's going to probably kill you or get you close to it. Not with Blaze.
Like 1v1, right?
Yeah, 1v1. Not Blaze. Okay. Blaze got down to a pretty low number, but I self-sustained myself through that fight and ended up killing Illidan, and it was a really satisfying thing. And that guy private messaged me a swear word.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, Scott, I'm not going to say you should take advantage of your friendships with people, but I, based on what you just said, I really want you to contact Liam.
Liam O'Brien.
And I want you to have him re-record Burning Crusade intro so that at the very end when he flies up and delivers his iconic line, instead he goes, I'm Illidan.
I'm Illidan. Check me out.
it's well, me. I'm Illidan.
The important line there was, whammo. Yeah. Whammo. You are not prepared. Whammo. Whammo. And then the title flies across.
He would probably do that for us if I asked him to. He's that kind of guy.
What a guy.
All right. And then, let's see. We did that whole thing. Now we got for our 20 pick, Flash Fire is the most common or the most popular. While channeling combustion, blaze movement is no longer reduced, and nearby enemies are slowed by 60%. I usually do, where is it? Let me find it. Is that the one I do? That is the one I do. Yeah, I get Flash Fire every time.
You have the bunker.
I got the bunker. Oh, no, you're right. When I have the bunker, I don't do the bunker, fortified bunker, though. So at 20, I pick that other one, burn notice. And if I have, if I pick the other one, combustion, I pick flash fire. So that's how that works.
Yeah.
Oh, burn notice is interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's where Bruce Campbell shows up. And
yeah.
It's great.
He's a private eye, I think.
Yeah. Him and his buddy.
Always in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. He was really good on Burn Notice, actually. It's great on there. Anyway, what's my point? Oh, yeah. So 63.2%, you're not wrong. Flash Fire is the way to go. It is freaking great. I don't know what else to say about Blaze except hallelujah. Here it is. I can't believe my two favorite heroes in the game are StarCraft heroes. Actually, Kyle had a tinfoil hat a tinfoil hat theory on why the heroes in the game are Tanis, these two people, other characters, are maybe the best. The StarCraft ones are the best.
Yeah.
And he says he thinks it's because Dustin Browder, these would have been characters designed by him in the StarCraft II time, in their essence anyway, and that they're better designed overall characters and make a very easy transition to the Nexus. Again, very tinfoil hat, but it's an idea, it's a thought. They just really lend themselves well to the Nexus.
But there is an event with the hero designer for this. I think it's Jade Martin who worked on this one, the guy we spoke to about Garrosh.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. A good theory, though. I prefer to believe, I choose your theory. Yeah. Over what was potentially reality.
Yeah.
But I think it's
just fun.
Garrosh was amazing. So this Jade Martin guy, we need to keep him making heroes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make big bulky tanks.
He's got the tank thing down. Cause I think it's not just you. I've heard nothing. You get mixed responses generally in the community with threads and stuff. And I basically heard nothing but good things about this character. Mm-hmm. And I will say my favorite aspect of it, cause I didn't have a talent build, I'll just contribute and say, the sound effects on this guy are also sexually arousing, let's say. I had something worse in mind. I toned it down, guys. I'm sorry. It's just they're very pleasurable to the ear.
So it sounds like real fire. If you got headphones on, you get some serious bass out of these flame noises, but also the flame effects themselves.
Yeah.
It looks like fire. Your screen's on fire. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know? But it's the charge effect. Like, one of the things that Raynor and Tychus, I don't find have that much, is, like, they have power armor. They're noisy machinery, and I get that feeling from Firebat when I do the charge. That he's like, and I really appreciated the sound design of the suit. I'm hearing the suit, which is really important, I think, on a Warhammer Marine, basically.
And the voice. Like, his voice is just crispy. Like, it's just... it's the modulation on it is a little harsher. It's like they put all the good speakers in Tychus and Raynor's armor, and he got like some old, we found these under a CTR monitor speakers in his suit. And then on top of that, he just sounds rough. It's so good.
Yeah, it's super good. One of the, let's see, where is he? Shoot, he followed me. I followed him. Super impressed with what he showed off on Twitter before the hero even came out. He showed some animation frames. I can't find him. I wanted to give him credit, though, because that's the other thing I think the character is really great at, is just emoting. But having a camera pulled way out like this, it still works. Like, he feels bulky and disgustingly huge, and it's not, you know, there's no agility to this character, but there's a heft to him, and like, a, I don't know, just like there's weight every step, these big shoulder pad looking things with handles on it. It's like shushunk. And they just, it feels very Warhammer. It's just awesome. So I don't know if we've said enough, but I think
we... Also, he doesn't do full T pose on the motorcycles anymore. I don't know if I just missaw it the first time I played him. Like, he doesn't look great. He doesn't look like he's riding a motorcycle real pro-like, but he's not there with like water wings on, arms out to the side going wee.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he looked good. You know those bears, the elemental bears that you got for that one season?
Yeah.
Looks great on those.
Did you put him on a fire bear?
No, oh, it looked great because it had the red, it matched and everything. That looked really cool. And he has his hands out in front holding it. So I was worried he was going to do, like you said, like the butterfly hands, but he didn't do it. And then the other one I really like is the basic little red treasure goblin from Diablo. And the reason I like that is because he is so big on it that it looks like he's riding around on his own hemorrhoid.
What?
Like a weird little sinewy little hemorrhoid sticking out of his ass, and he's riding around on it. It's fantastic. And little gold, there's little gold falling out too, but you know, you can't see it because he's such a big bulky dude. It just looks like this little, like almost, you know the thing Stukov shoots out, his pustule, that was slowing people? It's like he's riding on one of those. Just like a big purple booger hanging out of his A. Anyway.
Cool. Good tip.
You bet. I'm always here with the good tips. Let's move on now to changes on the PTR. There's not a ton of news outside of some of this, so I think this will be good to talk about. The January 9th patch that happened that are not on... Wait, is this part... Is it a PTR patch or public patch?
So we had a PTR patch, and now it's live, and there were some extra changes that we didn't catch last week because... They are new today or new yesterday.
So what's up with your boy Hanzo? What happened there? What's he getting?
So it looks like they're giving him some buffs, which is pretty great because he's already pretty cool. First up is his scatter arrow. The deflection spread after you hit a wall is decreased by 20%. What that's going to allow you to do is, if you think about it, if you hit somebody directly with the arrow, it only does so much damage. But if you hit a wall and nail somebody who's like a few pixels away from the wall, they take like a billion damage. It's insane. It's one of the most fun skill shots to do, but because the spread is so wide, that area of lethality is very small, and people don't hug the walls all that often. So the decrease of the narrowness means you have a larger area with which, you know, hitting with all the arrows is possible and getting like a bunch of burst damage. Still hard to do, so still I don't think this is imbalanced. I think that's a good change.
That's what I was going to ask. You think that's a good move then?
I never considered it, but it's very hard to hit with all. It's like almost just luck and impossible. So this will make it a little easier, I think, which is good. His D range is increased.
Yeah.
And why? I guess who wouldn't be happy about an increase to your D range? But his D, which is actually more professionally known as natural agility. It had, I guess, I don't know. I think the number 8 and 10s in my head, but I didn't write them down, but basically it was increased somewhat so that my thinking is that if the radius in which you are to where you can go is farther, that means you might have an easier time finding those corners to jump around, which is really good. And obviously if there are thicker walls you couldn't get over, you might actually get over them. Mm. Haven't played with it yet, but I did see a video of McIntyre going nuts with it because some of his D talents have changed, specifically that's it, his D range No, I didn't write them all down here. The one that's notable is at level 20, he gets a second charge of his D, and the cooldown's reduced by 5, which makes for some pretty insane plays, because now you've got 2 jumps. And this was this play, this highlight video, was brought to you by Point C of Volskaya Industries, where he is just going nuts, jumping over all the things while on the conveyor belt and shooting people with the arrows. It was glorious to watch. Wow. This is a fantastic little clip.
Yeah.
And anyways, so the extra jump actually kind of makes him feel like you can build into D and agility, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's an exciting change for him.
John, wasn't D Range your that was your rap battle name, wasn't it?
It was a short-lived career. Yeah. Mostly on the back of I'm not good at rapping, but you know, we tried it. Yeah. And it didn't work out.
Well, whatever, I guess hats off for giving it your best though.
Fail forward, Scott.
That's fail what I forward. Say fail forward, fail often, because that's how we yeah. learn. That's how we learn. Also, tell me about his shield breaker talent, because that seems good for him.
Well, his shield breaker talent was actually pretty good, and they took it away.
Oh, so they removed it.
Everyone have a sad face. Yeah, it was nuts. Like, I'd just be like, oh, Artanis is here? I can, like, auto and cue him, and it's like he doesn't have shields. It was great. Mm. So, pour one out for that.
Didn't that seem... Gone. It seemed appropriate, though, for him. Like, I'm a little bummed about it, because Hanzo's all about this powerful arrow. Like this arrow that just gets drawn way back, and if you get it to maximum pullback, it's like, get the hell out of the way, because it's going to rip right through whatever you got. And
yeah, they replaced it with a talent that gives him reduced armor instead, which is a more generic application, but it's definitely less exciting. And there's lots of places to get armor reduction, so I don't know. Mm. I don't.
All right.
I didn't much care for this change.
All right. How about level 20? Some chicanery in level 20. I see.
Well, that I already brought it up. It's the natural agility.
Oh, that one.
The second. Yeah, yeah. I kind of did it out of order where we wrote it in the notes. So
it's all good.
Yeah, we did cover it. So that's that. I mean, there's, you know, like a lot of these things, there's a lot of notes in there. If you want to read them, read them. We're just covering the highlighted stuff. Let's move on next to Nova.
Yeah.
Nova. All I saw was all of her abilities and all the numbers being lowered. Guess she probably made out the worst in this one. She may still be a threat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But certainly there was some considerable decrease to her snipe, her pinning shot, and her precision strike ultimate, as well as the damage stacking in her trait now, which I forget what the talent is called. Also, there's a really popular talent called One in the Chamber that increases, you know, there's those abilities where after using an ability, it increases your next auto attack by 30%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has one that increases her next auto attack by like 80%. It's the most ridiculous version of this talent of any hero. Even before people were saying she was great, it was very high. Mm. So that's finally seeing a nerf as well of 10% and lethal decoy at 16. Less damaging, because lethal decoy basically allows her to just poke with no repercussion to herself with her decoy. So yeah.
It did seem like every time I played Nova since these changes that Nova was killing a lot of people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She was out of control. So. Yeah. And when I started seeing people ban her in like public unranked games and stuff, seeing her being first banned in a couple of cases where I was playing solo, that I knew something was up. It's like, all right,
nobody
likes Nova right now. Samuro also got some changes, right? But these all seemed in the positive for him.
Yeah, so Samuro, very, very minor tweaks to Samuro. His health was buffed, as well as the health from his images, which is kind of a good thing, I think, for Samuro players. The images seemed kind of weak, especially with the one shot, I think, kills them on the towers now and stuff. So.
Well, it used to be one shot. Now they don't. But even then, the problem with them being weaker is if you've got them in a scrum and the other team is trying to figure out which one's the real Samuro, they can very quickly figure it out because one's taking quicker damage are not you. So if a smart player sees that, they'll just turn on you and figure it out, and then there's no point to being Samuro ever again. So
So he's going to be a little more resilient. I think he's already doing, actually. He wasn't allotted very highly when the patch first hit, but there are Samuro mains who are swearing by him, and the numbers seem to support it. His level 7 damage talents are also all pretty much buffed across the board slightly. So
nice.
Good news for you guys. Valyra, a couple changes, most notably Garrote. As the rogue expert, John, what's the final call on the pronunciation?
Hi, Bo. John, resident rogue expert here, is pronounced Garrote. I bet you didn't see that coming.
No, no.
Also, didn't. Resident expeditious phrase maker.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
You can call on me when you want something said quick, so that the show can move forward in a
expeditious,
quick fashion. Manner.
There you go.
Expeditious.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, John can't say expeditious. We found his. He found his weakness.
No, I was still. I was delaying. Yeah.
Just trying to make it last longer.
Garrote. I've been through all that.
Garrote's silence duration has been reduced. Yeah. So,
whenever I say Garrote, I think of Garrote Weinzierl.
I know. That's a big buff to into the
Garrote's silence duration reduced from 2.75 to 2.5. Anyways, moving on. Zeratul. Who cares about Valyra?
Yeah.
Zeratul. Got a couple of talents buffed. Very small changes. But the notable one for me that jumped out is he has a level one talent that used to give 25% movement speed, now gives 30%, which is mount speed, which is incredible. Wow. You're basically mounted with your stealth. Now, a lot of the pro builds I'm seeing don't involve this talent, but I freaking love this talent because you're just trucking all over the map, especially in solo queue. It's hilarious.
And that's his whole job is to go scout and be there and get there quicker. And, you know, like that's his thing. So to have him that fast on a mount, that seems OP to me. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his other talents are good, too. So they upped it to make it competitive with the other two talents. But this talent's pretty fun. Being mobile on foot, not to be underestimated.
Yeah.
In my opinion. this next note. So I put that as Booner health increased by 5 points.
Yeah, Booner health.
I meant to write bunker, but I left out the K and then left Booner.
Everyone needs good Booner health. I understand. It's fine.
But it was increased by 5 points to 1305 from 1300.
This is Blaze we're talking about, right?
Yeah, Blaze is bunker. So the health is increased by 5 points. And we think this is an inside joke because in StarCraft 2, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with this, but I saw a few posts where every patch in StarCraft, they change the health of bunkers by 5 points like no reason. Everyone's like, it's like the 15th change. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So there's literally a joke in the patch notes. So if you're a StarCraft fan, that one was for you.
I love that. I think that's great. And that what does that mean? The next patch, it goes down by five and then.
Yeah, the prediction is it's going. I saw some predictions of what it's going to be in the if you go to the Blizzard site where this is posted in the chat dialogues below. There's lots of predictions if it's going to go to 1310 or 1300 or, you know, stay. But we're going to see it change again.
I love that. I think that's awesome.
Lastly, we got our good buddy Garrosh. Also known, what do we call him? The Horde Trump?
Horde Hitler. Gary. No, Azeroth Hitler. Hornler.
Azeroth Hitler. Yeah, Azeroth Hitler. Oh my god, we're on the launcher. You can't make jokes like this.
I mean, you did it. Like,
yeah, we want to make sure that we don't.
I know.
We don't want to offend anyone who really liked Hitler. That's for sure. I would hate to offend those folks.
That's the concern. You nailed it.
Yeah.
For the record, I call him Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah, Gary Hitler. Okay, so increased slow on groundbreaker.
Mm-hmm. You're doing good, though.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Thank you. This is my first time podcasting. Please leave a comment below. increased slow on groundbreaker. So it's from 30 to 35%. So that's kind of nice. And the wrecking ball cooldown down to 2 seconds, which I thought already happened, but I think it was at 16 and went down to 14 and is now 12. So I'm kind of hoping we get to a point where wrecking ball is like 8 seconds. This would be great.
Yeah, I just want to throw people all game, just like a baseball player. Just it's... grab someone and throw them nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the most fun part about playing him is taking another character and throwing them. Whether it's a teammate or an enemy, it's the best. It's the best thing they've ever done in the MOBA genre.
Well, that's true.
And with the change where you have to actually, you can't pull them to you anymore, and you're not trying to land a sweet pull, one of my new favorite things to do is to just throw the tank away.
Yeah.
So like when ET sees in your face and he's like, you're not going to get to the back line, bro. Just go and just throw him. It doesn't do a ton of good because he'll just power slide right back. But it makes you feel better. And sometimes feeling better can turn the tide of battle.
I agree. And I would agree that that was one of the greatest things in the history of MOBAs until Blaze was made. And now I counter that with Blaze. Blaze is better than anything you think is cool. That's what
I would
say.
Throw Blaze. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to throw that out there as an idea.
I expect Blaze will get thrown by Garrosh on a frequent basis. Sure. Why not? Let's make it happen.
Well, he's a strong orc.
He is. He's Azeroth Hitler. Yeah.
Lastly, and most importantly, probably, were these last minute changes to Battlegrounds.
Yeah. What happened?
So
there?
We've been complaining. We've all been complaining. The lanes are too strong. The game's too snowbally. And then the people who don't think it's snowbally be like, you just need to get good and you'll realize it's not snowbally. You're just bad. Seen a lot of that out there too. Mm. But here we go. So minor nerfs to the most egregious camps. So Hellbats. Mm. Remember the Hell? Never forget the Hellbats. They have lower health, which is good because they have actually an insane health pool when they're pushing the lane. And their armor reduction is now 4% per attack versus 5% that it does. So this is small. So it's still the end result's still going to be the same. It's going to wreck your core and win the game on their own. Mm. It's just going to take more time to do it. But hopefully the lower health, like we'll see where it's at. I still think they're going to be brutal. The knights have lower spell armor now, which actually is a pretty big deal because those camps are nigh impossible to clear without a mage. And it's just not, at least in the games we're playing and the conversations we're having in draft, we think about push and lane clear, but we still don't have in our dialogue, like, we need someone who can clear the camps efficiently. Most of the time, we still have a tendency to be letting them go a little bit longer than we should probably. And it's hard to make that call. So the amount of spell armor that the Mage Knight is giving is reduced to 15%. Mm-hmm. And the laner, that's the defender. That's when you're taking the camp. So in the lane, which is most important, I think, it's going from 30 to 20. Okay. 30 is a lot. 30% reduction to all your damages or mm-hmm. your spell damage, which spell damage is most of your damage on most characters, and except for like auto attackers who are hitting things one at a time. That's not efficient.
Is it just me, or does all this feel like these are all answers to the games are getting shorter thing? Does that feel?
Yeah. Yes, exactly that. Yeah. The dev comments even said it is targeted to this issue because their concern was they thought that defenses were too strong. I believe they said that. Mm. Yeah. So that's why they made the lane minions stronger. But as it turns out, I don't know, having one turret on your castle that could potentially hold like 8 turrets. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand it's a game, but I've even think in League, there should be more than one turret on your bases and keeps. That just, it doesn't make sense that there aren't like 8 of them.
Right.
But that's just me. That's just taste.
Sure.
The slime boss as well on Warhead Junction, the health and scaling of the health mm-hmm. is also been reduced. So usually it's pretty lethal if you get a lot of nukes and push with the boss.
Hold on. Is that the one that leaves the trail of slime and poops out little bugs? That's the one we're talking
about?
Okay.
Yeah. The slime boss. Not the boss of all slime.
Not the other ones. Not the middle one. That's
the golem.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
I hate that thing.
But not the middle. Oh.
No. The middle one's like a infested Terran shippy ship.
Oh, it's an archangel. Isn't that what it's called on Brax's holdout? That's what you're talking about.
What am I thinking of? Isn't there?
What are you thinking?
Hold
of?
On. Isn't there two boss types on Moorhead Junction? There's
no, there's
no,
two
there's bosses, two, but it's the same.
Yeah. Oh, right. No. I am thinking of Brax's holdout. Never mind. Yep, that's totally what I'm thinking of. And that's that ship is a. Oh, it's one of my favorite airships, and it can go ground anytime it wants in StarCraft 2, and it's not called the thing you said. It's called something else. Doesn't matter for this conversation, so forget it. But it's... what's it called? It's like...
I don't know. I'd like to tell you, but somebody told me it didn't matter.
On which map?
It's on Brax's holdout. It's the infested Terran ship.
It's an archangel, right, isn't it?
No. Well, maybe.
I thought it was called the Archangel.
Maybe it is. I thought it was called...
Because it's like a Goliath. Yeah, the Archangel is a large Viking.
Oh, Viking. Yeah. Viking. That's what I'm thinking.
But it's not a Viking. I mean, you know, a StarCraft nerd, you call it a Viking, they go, excuse me, actually, it's an Archangel.
Oh, man, what are you saying about StarCraft players? What is that? What are you trying to say? What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying everyone gets that way. It's a general statement. We're all geeks, and when something matters to us, but and someone else is like, oh, whatever, Magic the Gathering's got, like, the tree magic and then the, like, white powder magic, and you're like, excuse me, they're planes cards, you know, whatever it is.
Right,
that's how we all get that way.
Yeah. What Bo's saying is,
I'm shoveling hard here, guys. I'm
there are nerds everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere's got a nerd. Just look, and you'll find them.
Okay, so moving on. Did we get the
what's Tower of Doom doing? What's going on there?
Well, on Tower of Doom,
yeah,
the respawn timers on the towers are increased by 20 seconds. So you get 20 seconds more play time before the next ones come up. And that sounds about right. I think they spawn a little too quick.
Yeah. For the record, it's Towers of Doom. That's why I was teasing about the tower, because it's a lot.
Hey,
of
guys,
towers.
Scott's sick. He's powering through to do this.
No, listen, I am full of cough syrup and all kinds of crap. So it's just the way it is. So,
I mean, Scott's sick, but he was quick enough to get that sick Tower of Doom burn, because that's what you wrote in the show notes, Bo.
What?
Tower of Doom.
Tower of Doom.
So that's why I said Tower of Doom.
Oh, I didn't write Towers of Doom?
Yeah, you wrote Tower of Doom.
You know,
okay,
Scott.
Who's pushing up their nose or their glasses down?
He will read exactly what you put in the show notes. Especially when he's on cough syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah, except I didn't place the bunker thing in the right place.
That's true. Well. You got to put your bunker where it belongs. Why the increase here? Is this also a speed up thing, isn't it? Like get the map, slow the map down.
It's a slow down thing. Yeah. Although Towers of Doom was one of the maps that I haven't heard that it's snowbally, because there wasn't big changes to the camps on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
This next one blows my mind. Battlefield of Eternity, a favorite of many players. I really like it. Liked it since the beginning. They're making a really weird change. Instead of it always being random where the stuff starts, where the Hell Angel and the Angel start, or whatever he is. He's a demon, I guess, the other guy. Anyway, they're going to start Immortals, first spawn in the Heaven South area zone quadrant. Then Hell North, then Heaven East, Hell West always. After this, it's back to random. Why?
You read that in a very confusing way.
Well, I did, but the idea being that they've got now they have set spawns and then it goes random. I don't understand why that is. What is it they're trying to fix there, do you think?
They've said that they want to do more predictable battlegrounds. They actually think that there's a valid strategy to knowing where things are going to be, at least initially, but this was one that they felt like, you know, there had been some pushback as to it being randomized a bit. Mm-hmm. So I actually think so. The first one, the North and South, I feel like when they go and it's going to be on the East and West side, I feel like it has always been Heaven East, Hell West. In every game I've ever played, I feel like that is always that positioning. I guess if it's in the change list, they changed it. But I don't remember ever seeing on that first set of Immortals it not being that case.
Well, it makes sense, too, that it would have been that way always, because it would make sense that Hell would be defending Hellside, right? And Heaven would defend Heavenside. Or no, it's always top-bottom, isn't it?
No, it's attack.
Yeah,
they're on attack sides.
You're right.
So the demon will be on the Heaven side, and the angel will be on the Hell side.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Now that you say that, I feel like you're right. I feel like maybe it was always that.
But anyway, now it's confirmed. Now it's there, and then it goes back to being randomized.
It's Blizzard. It's Blizzard stepping away from RNG. Can you believe it? Crazy.
If nothing else, this has given us the ability to use fun new phrases like Heaven South, Hell North, Heaven East, Hell West.
Yeah, I like it.
I think we should start calling it out that way in there.
I think it's always, you're saying it's always been that way, right?
Yeah, he's saying.
Okay, I think that's true, but that's a note in here.
Yeah, why else would they call it out?
It says all subsequent event stages will be randomized. Is that that was also true? I feel
I
like that
thought
was
that was true.
I'll tell you what is true that I know to be true. is that I never remembered this information. I just assumed it was around. Like, where's it going to be? It's like, and nobody was correcting me either. Everyone's just like, I don't know. Let's play it.
No, it always felt random to me. I just assumed it was always random, to be honest. But now that John talks about that first encounter, I think it's always kind of that way. But the thing is, I'm always late to that one. That one's less important. Sometimes you're doing other stuff. You're doing lane things. There are fights going on sometimes.
It takes a big man to admit you're late for objectives.
Yeah.
It's good.
Listen, I'm full disclosure is what I believe in.
Look, this mana bar ain't going to fill itself.
Right. That is true. Also, I want to say one more thing about Blaze. He is very mana efficient. I don't feel like I'm running out of mana a lot. He does pretty good with mana.
That's not you in a normal, like, sorry, in the average person's column, that counts for like one pro. Yeah. But that's like five pros of value right there for a hero.
Oh, for me, absolutely. Like, I'm bummed when they're not doing something other than mana. So when it's always just mana, it's like, okay, mana again. Somehow a dude in a big hot flame suit needs mana. That makes tons of sense to me.
You know, I think there's a missed opportunity here in that he, instead of mana, it could have been oil.
It could have been anything.
Like, cause he needs the oil to shoot the jet streams. He needs the oil to do the thing. He probably needs some oil to run the engines to do his jet jump.
Just replace the blue bar over your name with some oily black shiny stuff and you're done.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
And you'd have to make it a cool mechanic to do something. So maybe you can drill somewhere and refill.
Yeah. Otherwise, the story is that he's like, yes, the magical thing in the sky. Give me more of your mana so I might light it up. Like, it doesn't make any connective sense. I don't like it.
I feel like this episode has been Scott treating Blaze like Poochie, where it's just like, okay, anytime Blaze is not being shown, we should have a character asking where Blaze is.
What is Poochie? I need a...
Oh, what was that movie called?
The Simpsons. Death of Poochie. It was a TV show that ran for a long time.
What am I thinking of? The one where it's Death of Smoochie or Poochie or something.
Yeah, you're thinking of Death of Smoochie.
Oh, different Smoochie?
Poochie was a dog in the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. Oh,
the one that Homer voiced.
Yeah, that they wanted to force, and when they were trying to establish that, like, hey, this is going to be a great new character, one of the lines was something to the effect of, and when he's not on camera, everybody should be asking where Poochie is at all times.
Right, now this is all ringing a bell. Here, I'll give you a taste. Here's a taste of it.
Wait. No. He was supposed to have attitude.
What do you mean exactly?
Oh, you know, attitude! Sunglasses.
Can we put him in more of a?
This is a pretty good episode. It's good stuff. You guys should go seek it out.
Okay.
If I play more of that, Fox will sue me. All right. Let's talk real quick about. This is crazy. So, Overwatch League started, or OWL, as everyone likes to call it. I hate that, but whatever.
Okay.
OLW.
I don't know why I'm judging you for that. I kind of find it.
I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't like it. But it's AOL. It's AOL. AWL.
No, I think you meant to say that as a, what was that? A Freudian slip?
Freudian? Yes, Freudian. Very Freudian of me.
Freudian slip.
He used to write that down with his skeletal arms. That's right.
His skeletal arms. So when he played Tower of Doom. So here's the thing. Overwatch League is very exciting. It's awesome. I'm very excited about everybody who's involved in that, and I'm stoked to be watching it. I'm very excited about Overwatch League, so it's going to be really cool. However, it's the first game in the history of Blizzard where they have given launcher real estate up top.
Oh, you brought that up. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, right there.
That's crazy.
It says Overwatch League. You click that, and it's kind of a janky just website interface. So it's not that big a deal, but... The point is, it's like, hey, here are the games going on. Come over here from this interface and watch these games. Now, they made a very last-minute deal with Twitch to carry the games. I don't know why it took them so long, but it was seriously like last second. I believe what was probably going to be happening is I'll bet Blizzard was trying really hard to control that themselves and run their own streaming thing for that. And I think at the end they realized, we got to go where the eyeballs are. We got to go where people already are spending their time watching games. I think it's the right move for them to make, but I think that's probably why it was so last minute. But they've made a compromise here where if you click that on the launcher itself is your place to watch these games, even though it's just an embed from Twitch.
And the icon's on fire.
And it's flaming, right. There's a flaming icon at the top of the thing.
Well, this is notable because the Blizzard launcher is actually really good about housing the game-related content in its silos. Mm-hmm. And it has a little space where there's some ads for other games.
Right.
But this is no matter what game you're highlighted on. Oh, live now, Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are we going to get some HGC? You know?
Right. No, it's a big deal.
I'd like to see some HGC up there.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
My point, and probably the point of the entire show would be, or for all of us as hosts, do we think that we'll get HTC treatment like this when it's in full gear? Maybe.
Mm. I hope so.
Doesn't it seem like it? I mean, well, first of all, we're all going to complain if they don't, because it's going to be once again like, oh, there you go, Overwatch, taking this freaking main stage again all the time with your Overwatch. But I think it actually makes sense for them to kind of switch that up and put that up there. And they've got room. They just add it right next to it and say HTC and let me go there and look at my stuff.
By the way, a lot of people are watching that, though. It's not without merit. I think there's like 300,000 or almost pushing 400,000. I watched a game before we recorded tonight. There's a lot of people watching.
Oh, no, it's huge.
I'm not going to begrudge them their good time. The way I see it is the people watching Overwatch League are just future HGC fans. They just don't realize it yet. There's a superior product out there. They'll come to it in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Chat room, I'm putting it up on the screen right now so you can see it. You see that up there in the corner, right next to news. You got games, social, shop, news, and then Overwatch League, and there's like a little flamey animation underneath it.
It has a really weird aesthetic. Like, now we're no longer talking about things they could bring to the HGC, but like, there's a weird aesthetic to the stage and all of that. Like, it's a lot of solid walls of color.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'm in Supreme Leader Snoke's chamber.
A little bit.
And like, for reasons that would be spoilers, kids are now playing video games in there now. That's just what they do.
Seen it when the screen lights up to show the map? Because it's mostly solid colors, but when they're introducing the map, the whole wall becomes like a view of the game.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think they're showing it too much, but you could hear the audience when it first happened. I was watching; they all went, "Whoa!" Like you just all heard like a giant "Whoa!" And you don't actually hear. You hear cheering, you hear boos in the audiences. You don't often hear "Whoa!" in an audience, and I was like, "Oh." It must be really impressive to be there and look at that.
I think it's probably amazing. I think it's really cool, and they're going where the eyeballs and the money is for sure. It's just, you know, I want HTC to get a similar stage. I don't know if they will or not, but I think it's a great way to help push the competitive side and say, hey, look at this. You're already showing all those HTC matches on Twitch as well. This making an extra little tab there to throw another. See, and there's the other reason I think they're going to do it, because I think they're going to add one for Hearthstone when those come around. Like, Hearthstone's a huge game with many, many viewers. So there's no reason why all of these can't have some of that love up there. I just think this is the first of it. They haven't said, and so now we just speculate until we're blue in the face. But I'm stoked about what that might mean for Heroes. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Also, one last thing. Go Houston. Freaking the Outlaws are the team to follow. Go Houston.
Oh, wait, I want to do one last thing.
Okay.
Sorry. What? Well, I just want to say there's too much Genji. So the game's done from the point of view. It's like 80% of the time I'm watching Genji play the game and not the other heroes. So yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
There is a lot of Genji. Genji's everywhere.
Okay, here's my thing.
All right,
I want the players to at least be aware that they didn't sign up for this, but too bad, it's the reality they live in. They are de facto cameramen as well as players now.
That's so right.
They are. They're a point of view, and therefore they should respect the view. And I shouldn't see Widowmaker like tabbing her scope a billion times, and the camera's just going and looking like she's having a seizure.
This sounds very close to shaky cam territory.
It's pretty bad. It's like, hey, you're a responsible paid player and you're ruining my enjoyment of your stream by acting like an idiot. Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. As much as I'm like, well, the player needs to do whatever their little rituals are to be the best player they can. And some of that is bunny hopping until your face is blue or tapping buttons because you got ADD or whatever. Do whatever you got to do. But then the other part of me is like, well, you're effectively my view of the game, and I don't want to watch you do that. I think that game just needs to get better and better. Like, what if you could get Genji's view of the game because you want to be in that corner, in that objective, in that space, but it turns off all of the things you would see about Genji. In other words, his hands aren't in front of you. You're not seeing him reload. You turn off the jumping. Like, the view is just converted digitally, programmatically, to be just a still camera. You could go back and forth because you'd still get value out of having the frenetic stuff too. But once in a while, just be like, here's what that room looks like right now, according to Junkrat. And then saying the idea would be like, you guys ever see those the GIF of the Star Trek, the original Star Trek crew? They're all like, yeah. Oh, you know, when they hit something or get shot with a torpedo, but then the camera, or they go in later and figure out a way to make it so it takes out all the shake and it's just them, you know, running into things.
Oh, yeah.
You could do something like that, stabilize it so that it's not so obnoxious to see through, at least for parts of it. I think that'd be good, but I don't know what they're doing with that, so I don't know.
I mean, they've definitely made an effort to make it easier to follow. Like, I would be curious to show it to someone like my parents, who, even if they were into it, they probably wouldn't care that much, but just to see if they could read it and understand what was going on. Because I think the big highlights of characters and the skin themes and all the particle effects match the team colors, I think that's all a really good thing for readability. But I play Overwatch, I know what Overwatch is supposed to look like. So I'm curious how that reads to people who maybe don't follow it as closely.
Yeah, I agree. It must be chaos from Genji's point of view. It just must be, like, to somebody who doesn't know what they're looking at, what the hell is that? Like, it's just, it's like, you know, Tracer's not much better. Like, it's just this spazzy, insane thing, which is great from a gameplay perspective and kind of terrible from a camera view. But whatever. No. Anyway, we'll see.
But why Houston, by the way? Why are you into Houston?
Mainly, three reasons. One, you need to pick a team. I don't have one here locally, so I got to go with somebody, number one. I don't like LA or Miami as cities, generally speaking. So
pick fights with cities, Scott.
Yeah, why not?
Lay into them.
But that mostly comes from other biases about other sports. So it's not their cities are bad.
You know, any city that can have two teams doesn't need fans from outside those cities.
Right. I just don't like the Lakers, and I really don't like the Heat. So for me, or the Dolphins or the Rams or any like the teams they have. So my thing is, I got to have somebody I kind of like, and why not Houston? But the two other factors, the big ones, one, their color schemes for their costumes, for their skins, for their characters are the best in the game. They're this green and black combo that is so freaking cool. And then thirdly, their logo is badass and better than any of the other ones. It's a pair of guns. Like, it's got the whole Western motif.
That's all you need.
Yeah, it's so good. So,
it's
yeah.
It's a pair of guns.
It's all Houston, the Houston Outlaws for me. And for all I know, they're the worst team. I haven't followed them very carefully, so I don't know. But, you know, the Koreans will probably smear everybody all over the floor. So
there's no Koreans. This is America-only league, I think.
No. There's international teams, aren't there? Actually, no. If you log into the game right now, they give you 100 free coins that you can buy a skin with. And the skin can be, it's coin specific to these league teams. So I went in and bought an Orisa skin in those green and black colors because she has this cool logo like cod piece thing. It's badass.
Right.
I'm not weird about her crotch. Okay, everybody. Well, she's a robot. But anyway,
all I'm gonna say is this: right now, the Los Angeles Gladiators are going up against the Shanghai Dragons.
Yeah, it's international.
So I feel pretty safe to say it's not just North America.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two international teams: Seoul and Shanghai.
Yes.
The rest are American teams.
Correct. Wait, isn't there a European team?
London, is there?
London.
Oh,
something.
There's a London. Oh, why did I think they were just doing the Americas?
I don't know why you thought that. I think you it's fine. You said Tower of Doom. It's fine. We'll forgive you.
I will say something. This. The Outlaws logo is pretty good.
It's good, right? The rest of them are pretty generic. Like, oh, okay.
Because it looks like a bull. If you.
Yeah, it's like a bull and guns.
Abstract yourself, it looks like a bull skull.
Yeah, guns and bull together. Yeah, and those colors are badass. You got to go look at all their skins, though, to see what I mean.
Sure, you don't like the London one that looks like an airplane with the propeller on it?
I kind of like the London Spitfire.
Really?
Yes.
It's okay.
It's a Spitfire. It was an important plane. Basically kept London from being destroyed.
That's true.
The Spitfire summer.
True. That's true. But guns and cattle are important as well, I'd like to point out.
I mean, it's certainly more effort than what San Francisco Shock put into there. This looks like they ripped a cloth. Or yeah. You know what? It looks like a curtain.
No, it's dumb. It's dumb. And here's what, and I want to just illustrate something really quick. What's happening right now between the three of us is exactly why this is happening and why this
damn
is exciting.
It. No,
and that's
our
why
our hero show just turned into a critique of team logos.
But that's why I want to have this kind of fervor in HGC, because people start picking sides, even if it's based on dumb logos and stuff, or because they live there, or because they hate the city for other reasons. Like, that's part of the competition, and I think Overwatch is counting on that. And I want more of that. I want more of that in the HGC. Because right now in HGC, it's just like, what team is owned by that billionaire again? And where are they located? Like, it's not the same. You know? Oh, this stuff's wearing. I can
Did
tell my
Did we
stuff's
say
wearing.
New York Excelsior was the worst logo? Because New York Excelsior is the worst logo.
It's pretty bad. It's also Excelsior.
It looks like a beach
It's
towel.
A magic eye thing. You've got to unfocus your eyes and you'll see. You'll see there's a secret image in there.
It looks like a beach towel. You're right. It does. Yeah. Point is, Hero's turn. It's Hero's turn. Let's get in there.
Yeah. Give us a beach towel logo, Heroes.
Yeah. Get in there and make it happen. All right. Everyone who isn't prepared for this, here it is. That's right. We'd like to play a shockingly loud thing at the end of the show to quickly read an email. We got one here at our email address, core@heroesforyou.com. This comes from Bradley, who says, Johnson, Jagger, and Schwartz, have you been injured in an accident? No, he doesn't say that. You mentioned Chen in a previous show. Well, we've mentioned Chen a few times, right? We like Chen. Chen's all right. And it got me to thinking, his concept is so cool, but I feel like he is underwhelming to play. Having to stand still to get your primary resource back is a real bummer. He'd get to do a flying kick at the enemy and soak enemies in brew and light them on fire, much like Bernie Mayhem. Who's Bernie Mayhem? Should I know who that is?
He had a Ponzi scheme and...
Wait.
Bernie Mayhem. I don't know what that is. Is that a wrestler or something?
I don't think so.
It's going to be something dumb, isn't it? And people are going to go, you guys, I can't believe you didn't know the reference.
Much like Bernie Mayhem. Maybe Bernie Mayhem's like a fire juggler.
What does he mean? So
I'm
he says,
looking up. Google doesn't seem to know.
Yeah, it just gives me articles about Bernie Sanders.
No, nobody wants that. So it says, so it's super sad that he isn't more fun to play. Maybe he's referring to another character in the game, lighting them on fire. Maybe he means Blaze. He might mean Blaze. Anyway.
Oh, no, much like Bernie Mayhem. Right.
That's a Blaze name.
Yeah. His name is actually Miles Lewis.
Yeah, it's Miles Lewis, not Bernie Mayhem.
Okay, guys, I don't think we, as the core crew, can criticize people for coming up with an alternate name for something.
He's clearly trying to contribute to the pantheon of great naming conventions. So, fine. Bernie Mayhem.
Bernie Mayhem.
Swish it around our mouth and see how it goes.
Yeah, lost millions of dollars for people at Bernie Mayhem. Anyway, it says, would love to know if the core crew has any thoughts on how to make Storm Stout a cooler hero, says Bradley. So I think our biggest Storm Stout player here is probably Bo. But what would you do to dress Chen up a little bit?
I would say he is a cooler hero.
Yeah.
I think if you wanted to make him an even cooler hero, it's true, standing stock still, huge liability.
Yeah.
So I'd just say, let's make him unstoppable while he's drinking. Or let's make him impervious to damage doesn't make sense because he's supposed to be with the shield.
But what if he was invincible and could go back in time?
It's just
for some reason
sitting still, like, it's really bad. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's bad. It's in any second to second game where action is required, you never stand still because a target that's moving is better. That's why Sergeant Hammer really sucks as a competitive hero, and people try to make her work and be all hipster about it. The point is, if one of your abilities is to lock yourself down and paint yourself in the exact spot, good players will get you. And, you know, you may run amok where the play is not as competitive and it can feel oppressive, but generally speaking, standing still is bad. The great thing about Chen is that all of his cooldowns are 5 seconds. They're nothing.
Yeah.
Like, having him, and he builds his resource really fast. You don't actually, once you practice a lot with them, you don't have to sit there drinking for hours. You drink for a few seconds and you remain in drinking mode if it serves your strategy at that point, which is to say replenishing your shields and being a wall. But I think he needs unstoppable while he's drinking. I think you give him that, and that way you can sit there and drink and he'll take damage, but you can't disrupt him. That'd be perfect.
It's like he's like Mosh without the benefit, though. You know what I mean? Like, he just stands there. And I totally get this perspective. So your idea is a good one. Maybe other things could emanate from him while he's standing still that makes him dangerous to be around or something. Like, there's
he had a recent heyday in competitive. I can't remember what patch it was, but a patch had come out and he was hitting the top of the charts. He doesn't need that much of a tweak to get him to a place where he can be a good tank, because he can peel. Okay, the W is a slow.
Yeah.
And he's got decent DPS. His ultimate is hard to use. Most people will take the three little pandas, but Wandering Keg is an incredible ability. Mm-hmm. And that's really good for isolating heroes, just causing mayhem. Like, it's way better, but it's like not everyone's going to pick up Chen, play him, and use Keg properly. It takes practice and some skill to do it. I think the main issue is that it's just easier to be a tank on other heroes, and there are better bruisers right now, which he can do damage and be a bruiser, but where he excels where other heroes don't, that window is very niche and other heroes are just doing better.
Right.
Like, if we'd start seeing some nerfs to like our Tanis and Sonya, maybe we'd see Chen rise up as your bruiser pick. He was incredibly strong on Hanamura, which is a map is coming back, but he has his spots.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, you're just going to have to work harder to be as good as a Muradin who has less skill than you, probably. Yeah. And that's just going to be what it is.
One nice thing, just another shout out to Blaze, if you don't mind. You were just talking about how great it is that Chen's cooldowns are so short. I present to you Miles Blaze Lewis,
whose Chen's cooldowns are shorter.
His cooldowns are nearly non-existent. He's like Malfurion that way. It's like nothing. Two, 3 seconds at the most for his freaking double shooter deal. And his oil chucker is always on tap, and you can talent it to be even shorter. Like, I'm telling you, I never feel like I don't have something to do with him. It's never like, yeah, well, I better just auto attack.
Scott.
Yes.
I want to retort.
Okay, retort. Wait,
give me a second.
Okay.
Ahead, he may actually have shorter talents on some of it, or cooldowns on talents.
Yeah.
Or abilities, but I think talented up long term, I think you'd find you get probably more abilities per minute on Chen than you would on Blaze.
Right. It's because he likes family. That's why. John, you were going to say, you're going to add there?
I just wanted to ask you a question, Scott.
Yeah.
Do you like Blaze?
You know, I've thought long and hard about it, and I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say I like him a lot. Yeah. Hey, one quick final note here. On the Heroes of the Storm Reddit page, somebody found an obsolete loading screen tooltip today that is this.
Oh, what?
The tooltip says, I just got the quote, or this person says, I just got the quote, towers have limited ammo, which depletes when they fire, but recharges slowly over time. Might want to get that one out of there, Blizzard.
Still true, just a matter of perspective. By limited ammo, we mean more than you'll be able to see in a game, and by slowly over time, we mean very quickly.
Right, it still works somehow. Oh, John, you're just, it's like you illustrated today's media environment. Well done.
It's all true. Yeah. Everything's true and everything's a lie.
Everything's
all good,
lie.
It's all bad.
Simultaneously true and a lie at the same time. It's fantastic. Yeah. What a great time to be alive. All right. That's it for your emails. Thank you for emailing us, Bradley. If you'd like to send your own emails in and have them read on the show, it's a simple task. Send them to core@heroesforyou.com. I want to thank everybody in the chat room who came here because of the launcher tonight. I know some of you are like, what the hell's this? Nobody's playing. I don't see any gameplay. What the hell's this? And then some of you stuck around and went, these guys are interesting. It's kind of fun to be here. I should check this out more. Well, you're welcome back anytime. We're not always on the launcher, but we are always here on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain Time or Eastern Time. So come join us and be here. Frogpants.tv, or as you can see right now, you're at twitch.tv/frogpants. And we'd love to have you. Always new people are welcome. A reminder, if you'd like to help support the show, patreon.com/core show is where you can do it. Many of you already have. Thank you guys so much. If you find the show fun, enjoyable, entertaining, otherwise helpful, it's a great place to show some of that love back. You want to get your very own in the mail Dear Martha letter from John? Oh, I know a way you can do it. Sign up at patreon.com/coreshow. That's going to do it for us. Our website is heroesforyou.com. You can go there anytime. And again, email us core@heroesforyou.com. Find us on Twitter, John_Jagger, Bo Schwartz, one word. And I'm at Scott Johnson, one word. That's going to do it for us. Sorry, that one word part is not spelled out. It's just, I was just telling you they're one words. Anyway, it doesn't matter. John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Are you gonna take it?
Jeez.